tonight we are going to still be in Ephesians chapter 3. And in the last couple of verses, we talked through most of this prayer last week, leading this idea of praying together. I hope you guys took that challenge, prayed with others. I know a lot of you did. I talked to a lot of folks who were doing it. And tonight we're going to finish this very short little phrase, but here at Maywood, I wanted us to spend a whole week on it. And it says, verse 20 and 21, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. There's a lot of goodness in that prayer, but the awesome thing about Maywood is I knew we're going to have some stories to be able to tell about God's power working in us. The idea isn't that God's done everything he's going to do here. It's that God's just getting started. When you read that prayer as a whole, we're supposed to be headed towards the fullness of Jesus, but he's given us some first fruits already. And so we're going to have a few different testimonies tonight, but I want to invite Becca to come up first. And Dave, doesn't matter which mic we use. Okay. So there you go, Becca. So Becca has an amazing testimony. A lot of you heard a big picture testimony from her over in the courtyard right before this, talking about, you know, addiction to meth and to heroin, and this beating all odds through God's help to be able to be reunited with Connor, her son. And it's amazing testimony. But I actually wanted to have Becca come and just tell us a little tiny, tiny story, a tiny snapshot. Because sometimes in Maywood we hear these giant stories, but God is also God of the day-to-day little things. And so I specifically wanted to bring Becca up for just one of those little stories. How does God's power get involved in day-to-day life? So tell us about your driver's license.
Okay. So Thursday or Friday, I noticed that my driver's license was not in my wallet. Right? And so, I know, this is, mind you, I don't go anywhere. I'm working from home right now. I could not wrap my brain around where I lost my driver's license. Like, there's no reason for me to take it out of my wallet. Like, I am going over, like, the last couple days, the last week, like, freaking out trying to figure out where I left my ID. And I was getting really stressed out about it. So then on Saturday morning, that Saturday that we had the sermon about prayer, we came up here because Connor went to Boy Scout camp this week. So last Saturday morning, we came up here, and after we loaded the Boy Scout trailer, we went to Sonic to get something to drink. And so we're driving, and, you know, my headlight needed some headlight, needed blinker fluid, actually needed headlight grease. Marcus put some blinker fluid in it for me, so now it works. But anyway, so I had a headlight out. Now I'm all nervous because I don't know where my driver's license is. So then I get up to Sonic, and I go to pay for our drinks and I don't have my debit card, and I just lost my top. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm this irresponsible adult. I can't find my driver's license. I can't find my debit card. You know, so I'm freaking out, and I called Marcus. I was actually kind of crying at this point. And I was like, Marcus, do you have my debit card? Because we paid for pizza the night before. And ours, we have the Chiefs checking, so they look the same. So he just picked it up and put it in his wallet. So he did have the debit card, but not my driver's license, right? So I'm like, oh. So I went and had coffee with a friend of mine. We normally run, but my ankle was hurting, so we prayed. She's like, let's just pray about it. Let's just pray about your driver's license. She's like, let's just ask God intentionally. So I was like, okay, God, please help me figure out what happened to my driver's license. Because I was ready to go to the DMV and just get a new one, but I was like losing sleep over where I left it, you know, where it could be. So, we prayed intentionally. We said, God, please help me find you know, where my driver's license is, what could possibly, where it could be, you know. And so then I called Marcus and I was like, I'm going to go to the DMV, and we get our mail, we get a picture of our mail in our email. And so he got a picture in his email of an envelope that came in the mail that day. He goes, well, you got something from the campground. We went camping 2 weeks before this. He said, you got something from the campground. I would wait to go to the DMV. I was like, okay. So I checked the mail, and the campground mailed me my driver's license.
Yay.
Not kidding.
Okay, so we're just going to get to a quick snapshot here. So Becca, super stressed about the driver's license, losing sleep over it, emotional about losing things, just kind of in general. But then when you finally pray with your friend after all this searching, then it shows up within hours, basically, right?
Yes, it really did. And what was crazy about it, not crazy, but just like blew my mind. And really for me, it was like God was telling me, I love you this much, you know, because I didn't even think about that I left it. And Connor's like, remember, Mom, you bought the float and you took your driver's license out to buy the float. They take a copy of your ID to get a raft. And I was like, that's right. You know, I must have left it there. But they never called or anything. And that was like 2 weeks went by. I never even noticed it was missing. That's kind of scary, too. But, you know, the crazy thing is I had no idea where it was at. And, like, it just came out of nowhere that it came in the mail. Like, God mailed it to me. And, you know, God spoke to whoever that was at the counter to put it on their heart, to take the time to mail it back to me. And I just thought that was amazing.
Well, and if you deep dive into this, maybe a lot of you are like, I'm not going to spend any more time thinking about this, but if you deep dive into it, it's like that got put into the mail before Becca even prayed about it, right? And Jesus talks about God already knows everything we need, but Jesus still tells us to pray. Yeah, okay, we're losing battery power, I think. So Jesus still tells us to pray. He wants to bring us in. And now Becca sees God as her provider, right? Whereas if it had just shown up, we wouldn't have been connected at all, right? And so whether you were missing your driver's license or not, I wanted to start us off with a simple story to say that God's power is real. And a lot of us stress about stuff or even cry about stuff or lose sleep over stuff, and we just leave it in the zone of trying to solve it on our own. But Becca and her friend prayed together. And there's a lot of power in that. And why would you not tap into it, even on the little stuff? So thank you, Becca, so much for showing us that. Yeah. So I want to invite Mark Baker. So Mark might get your attention. There we go. Mark's coming up. And Mark's got an awesome story for us. And we get, okay, so Mark's story is different. Each of these stories are going to be different. So with Mark's story, Mark's going to talk to us about, Mark had a hope for somebody, but this verse gets this idea of Jesus doing, or God doing immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Okay, so Mark, tell us about kind of the feeling God put on you, how you were obedient, what started to happen.
Okay, well, it started probably 3 months before this pandemic shut down the church. I met up with a homeless gentleman that was living in the woods up off of Blue Ridge, and in a homeless community, and I had invited him up to church several times. I would witness to him when I had a chance, and when I would see him out on the street.
And just to pause you for a second, I think it was the first time you saw him. Did you feel like God was telling you something there?
Absolutely. God was telling me that this is what I want you to do. This is the direction and the road I want you on. I had no idea that when this pandemic come along, it would put air brakes on what I was doing here at Maywood, which would have been the visiting at the health centers and the hospital. So God was preparing me even before this happened to get on the road to what he wanted me to be doing.
That's an awesome piece. I didn't even know about that. How, like, God's got your time going. But But Mark did share with me too earlier this week, you know, Mark is able to run his own kind of business basically, or like kind of set his own schedule. And there'll be times where he says no to the work that he has planned because he feels like God's telling him to go do something. And when he's obedient to that, then God does stuff through him. So this is one of those moments. Mark's being told, go talk to this guy about me. So I'm sure Mark's thinking, oh, I hope this guy gets help. But tell us what you wound up finding out about this guy.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jake. It's being available for when God calls you. I am very blessed that I have a job that I can be available for that. I can be available for someone who may need something in life. There's been many phone calls I've got from church, from Melissa and others that be like, oh, Mark, can you go do this or go do that? Someone needs you, this and that done. And so Elaine, I have to put her in there with me. She shares it with me. We are able to go do it. I mean, it's not a thought. Just drop everything. It'll be there tomorrow and go do it. And that's God calling right there. That's not anything that comes out of Melissa. She just didn't call to harass me and mess up. It's God calling. You got to be ready for that. So I had prayed that God would bring this gentleman into church. So we're sitting in there at 8:30 service one morning, and he walked through the doors. My soul was so excited. I jumped up and down. I couldn't wait to get to him. Put my arm around him and just thank God for bringing him up here to fellowship with us. That's an answered prayer right there. And so each time he would come in, each week I would go over and I would sit with him. And I watched his growth, and he asked for a Bible one morning. He didn't have a Bible, so I got him a Bible that he could read it in the homeless community where he was at. So, long story short, Barry was reading it in his, didn't mean to do that. But anyway, he was reading it in his tent each night before he went to bed. And I know the Spirit was working on him. He was being available for God to be able to use him in a magnificent way, as he wants to do for each one of us. I didn't think ever in my life before I become obedient to God that he would want me to do something for him. And how powerful we can be in that for him. Barry, I've got to use his name. He said it was okay to use his name, so he had taken the Bible out of his tent, and he was sharing the gospel, the word, with the people of the community. I didn't ask him to do that. That's not from me. That's the Holy Spirit. And took him right out of his tent and put him right there in that community. And he's sharing the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. So it's...
Well, one more piece I know the story. Barry shares with Mark later that some people, you know, he's sharing around the fire out of the Bible. Some people got up and left, went through the tents, and some people stayed. And Mark got to encourage Barry with, like, the ones who stayed, that means that they wanted to hear what you had to say. They chose to stay because, you know, about half left. And Mark was, when he felt that tug, go talk to that homeless man that you don't know, I'm sure his wildest dream was that Barry would become a Christian or get a little bit of help. But God is using Barry to impact people that Mark's never even met. It's way more than Mark would have asked for or imagined, right? And it just comes from being available. You're the right person for whatever God asks you to do. If you don't feel right, you don't feel like you know how to do it, if God asks you to do it, you are literally the right person.
You're the
for
one.
That job. And you never know the ripple effects when you obey that voice, when you're available. Thank you so much, Mark, for sharing with us. Yeah. Okay, and very excited for all of our testimonies tonight. Our final one, though, I'm extra excited for is Steve. I don't know where Steve walked. There, right there. So, Steve, if you want to come on up. And I've just... getting to know Steve better. And Steve, come on up. And Steve, I'm going to kind of just open question. I know God's done a lot in your life. First time we talked was about God helping you physically in miraculous ways. But heard some stuff recently just about God doing miraculous things, just good things in your life. You seeing growth in your life and other people's lives. But I just want to open the floor. What do you want to tell us tonight? You feel like God's laying on your heart about God's power.
There's something quite profound that I want to share. And it didn't really occur to me until more than 24 hours after you called me the other day. First of all, my name is Stephen Michael Scudder, and I stand here today before you as a testimony to the miracle that is God. Because if it was not for God, I would be moldering in the ground. And that is the absolute truth. I was near death. I had lost my way completely. I also want to thank Joshua Patterson and everyone at the Good Foundation for accepting me in. All the counsel that I've had, this church is the perfect church for me. I noticed that the very first day that I came here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone here understands where I'm coming from because you have all been to places similar to where I have been. And you have shown nothing but love and no judgment whatsoever, no matter what I've ever done or had to say while I was here. And for that, I thank God and I thank all of you. One of the most profound things that happened to me when I first got here is I met two people that have been principal in my recovery. They are my good friends and my brothers. One of them is Steve. Thank you, Mr. Feltz. And Matt Yule. These two men, from the moment they met me, have been my brothers and have shown me nothing but love and guidance the entire time that I have been here. They are a great blessing, and they are also part of the spirit that really makes this church and the foundation that I am with so special to me. When Pastor Jay called me the other day and asked me if I would do this, I thought nothing of it and said, I'll do that. Sure, I'll do that. Without getting nervous. I normally would have gotten nervous about that kind of thing, but I did not do that. I didn't think about the date. I didn't think what Saturday was, and I'm going to share something that no one outside of my formerly estranged family and friends know about me. August 1st has been a huge day for me for 40 years. On August 1st, of 1980, my father, my friend, my mentor, my best friend at the time, passed away unexpectedly. And from that day forward, August 1st has been the worst day of my life for the last 40 years. I am ashamed that I had done this, but I will admit it in front of all of you. On that day and that day alone, every year since, I cursed God for taking my father away from me. That was one of the things that contributed to my downfall, to my slide, my alcoholism, to the wicked ways, and to the destruction of the entirety of my life and every friend and every family member who just said, that's enough. They would not even talk to me again. My day started today at 12:12 a.m., a phone call, having to do with my duties here with the Good Foundation. Would I be upset about that? Maybe, but not today. Because one of the things that I realized is I am free of the devil. I have had not one thought, but great thoughts about my father today. I got on my knees after I had that phone call this morning and thanked the Lord that I was free from having another day where I was going to drink myself into oblivion, or like I did last year, try to kill myself.
Amen.
I can only say this to all of you. The power of God is the most gracious thing I have ever felt. And when I came to be here, I started to get better immediately because I opened my heart to God primarily, and then to sponsors and counselors and all the other people here that do what they do to give us the best chance at a life, and not only a life for ourselves, but a life for the ones that are around us that can take inspiration or see by example the things that we do because those who have known me since I got here have seen the changes, and they tell me all the time about those things. I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, every single day. They tell us, part of this program is hit your knees in the morning and hit your knees at night. I hit my knees many times during the day. Not because I think I get bonus points for that, but because it gives me the guidance for the things that I need to do for myself and the things that I need to do for others. Because I did find that carrying the message to other people is what sustains me. Without that, I may be back out there again. But by the grace of God, those lessons have been learned. I thank the Lord for every one of you that are here. I thank the Lord for this church. This is the perfect church for Steve Scudder. I grew up in a Baptist church. It was nothing like this. It was full of a bunch of judgmental people. And my parents were officers of that church. They weren't judgmental. But there were a lot of people that were that way. This place is perfect, and I've seen so many healed through this church and through the program. I've seen people turn their lives over to God. I have seen people live by example. I've seen people fail and pick themselves up again and be leaders. I've seen things since I've been here that I thought I would never be privileged to see because I had already given up on my life on a long downward slide. The last thing I want to say about today, this August 1st, is that phone call at 12:12 a.m. was no curse. It was nothing to take away my sleep for today. It was a gift from God, because if this is going to be the first August 1st in 40 years that I am not cursing God, then I get to enjoy the entirety of it before the clock strikes till tomorrow.
Right on.
And with that, I thank you.
So good.
Yeah, that's right.
I had no idea what Steve was gonna share. Honestly, maybe a little nervous because he told me I got something no one knows that I'm gonna share it. And I was like, I think God wants you to talk, so we're just gonna go with it. You know, like, I was like, that could really go sideways. We're gonna go with it. And I'm so glad that we did. This image came to my mind when Steve was talking. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is getting ready to send the people of Israel into the promised land. All these good things God has for them, they're finally ready to go. And the last image they get, basically anyways, the last big thing they get is they stand, some of them on one mountain and some of them on another mountain, and they talk to each other. And there's curses and there's blessing. And Moses and God's big idea to Israel is you get to choose. What do you want in your life? Do you want to live the life of curses, or do you want to live the life of blessing? And Steve is this incredible, powerful, living testimony to us today of that crossroads. Every single one of us can choose to live out a curse. We can follow that hate and blame God, or we can accept the good things that God puts into our life and follow Him. We started with Becca, that God really does get powerful in your little things. We talked with Mark about God wants to do way more through you than you're even hoping for. And Mark just listened and followed. It was a very simple two-step plan. Listen and follow. He didn't have a master plan for Barry, but he just listened and obeyed. Steve showed us just a total 40 years of darkness and then what one day in the light can do, right? What this last year has done in his life. Wanting death and now excited to live every minute of this day. So one of the things Steve said was he gets on his knees, not because he has to, but because it guides him towards what he needs. And Paul had the same opinion. Paul would get on his knees and pray. Everybody Maywood has got different health stuff, different whatever. I'm not saying you got to get on your knees, but if you're able to get on your knees, this is not a comfortable floor that we're around, but I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to invite you guys to if you want to, and I'm going to lead us in this prayer that Paul prays, okay? We're going to pray this for Maywood, for us, whether we're listening online or whether we're here in the parking lot. For this reason, we kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of his glorious riches he would strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. We pray that we would be rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.